Thank you for joining us online for this service. We're so excited about the legislation that came out, that we'll be starting services soon and gathering in groups. We'll be starting on the 4th of October, so you'll have to register and all of that, but we'll keep you updated on what to do. But we are looking forward to worshiping together, to spending time together, and to really have church the way God intended church to be. So we're very excited. And it's a new season that's coming. And I'm excited to share the word about this new season also. So let's just pray together. Father, we just want to thank you, God, for your word that is powerful and effective. Lord, we just trust you, God, to open our hearts this morning, Lord, as we listen to your word, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts, that you will come. And Lord, thank you that your word is powerful to change our lives. So we open our hearts to you this morning. We ask, Lord, that you will come and do the work that you want to do in Jesus' name. Amen. So a little while ago, we were having intercession on a Thursday morning and just praying for the church. And while praying for the church, God showed me this arrow. But it was somebody, it was God pulling back this arrow. And he's about to release this arrow. But it's a strong pull of this arrow that's about to be released. And as he's pulling back this arrow, what I saw was there's actually these strings attached to this arrow. And the strings are actually going to, if this arrow is going to be released, the strings are actually going to either throw the arrow off course or keep it back. So initially we were praying through that, and especially how it relates to the church. And while we were praying that, we realized that it actually relates to each and every one of us who are in the church, because we are the church. Each one of us is part of this church. And that means that there are things in our lives that we just need to cut before God can release this arrow, so that this arrow can go strong and really hit the target for which God intended it. So while I was pondering this for a while and just asking God, what are the strings? What are the things that we need to cut before he can release us into this new exciting season that he has for us? And I think what lockdown has done for many of us, it has brought a pause in our lives. It is just a time of just a complete actual full stop. Being able to kind of look at our lives and go, what worked and what did not work? And a lot of us, I know, have been able to reevaluate our businesses. We've been able to become a bit leaner, to trim down, to refocus. And I've heard so many testimonies of people in church where a lot of people expected catastrophe. God has actually worked it together in such a powerful way that people have been able to streamline their businesses or streamline their lives to be so much more effective. I know a lot of us have taken a lot more ownership spiritually about us, of our spiritual growth. We've been digging into the Word. We've been really studying it and not outsourcing, in a sense, our personal spiritual growth, but actually really growing and taking ownership of it. A lot of us have been able to disciple our kids better. In the past, it's easy to get so distracted by time, and not having enough time because we're running around and taking our kids to sport and lots of other things that are distracting us and them. And God has really given us this time to go, how are we discipling our children spiritually? And a lot has changed. And a lot, I feel, is just almost this loosening of the strings. The strings have been, the things that have been sort of set have been challenged, and we've been able to go, okay, what are the things we need to change? But I feel we need to crystallize that. The things that God have been challenging us about in the past few weeks, or the things that we've, new things that we've implemented that have been good, let's crystallize that so that we can really move into the next season. Because I'm afraid, even though they call it the new normal, we all tend to go back to the way things were. The world is just like a stream that pushes us into a certain way. And before we'll be going back into the way things were. So unless we go and we pause and we say, Lord, what must I change? What must I cut? What must I implement so that I can go into the next season, so that we don't just fall back into our old ways again? So one of the things I felt led to is just to look at what could be some of those strings? And I pray like the Holy Spirit will really highlight those things in our hearts today so that we can know what are the strings, what are the things that God wants us to cut so that he can release us. Now, the Bible talks about two types of people. It talks about the natural or unspiritual person, and it talks about the spiritual man or woman. So the natural or unspiritual person is somebody who has not given their lives to God. They are controlled by their sinful nature. Their minds and their thinking is completely set on what that nature desires. The mind of that person, of those people, are hostile to God. It is against God. It's against God's will and God's ways. And the reality is, if somebody is not born again, they cannot understand God, and they cannot understand God's ways, and they cannot submit to God. So a person who is unspiritual or natural relies on human reasoning and follows their emotions. So how do you know if somebody, how do we see that, is that people follow their human reasoning? Because that's all that makes sense, because God's ways cannot make sense. We see this in Romans 5 from verse 5. 8 from verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So it says here, those who follow, who are not followers of God, basically cannot please God. We can't. Andres always says when somebody does something that we would think is completely crazy, he'd say, but you know, that is what an unsafe person does. If somebody's lying or stealing from you, and then they don't have God's Spirit inside of them, don't be surprised, because they're just doing what their nature is, you know, they're just following that nature. But it says, if we carry on reading in verse 9, it says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. So the spiritual man or woman has got the Holy Spirit. We are born again. Our spirit is born again. And we have become spiritual beings. We have become, God has come and filled us with his Holy Spirit. And as we know, God is Spirit. And God is speaking to our spirit. So God wants to relate to us as spiritual beings, which we are, because it says then, Romans 8 verse 9, you are not all those other things. You are not in the realm of flesh. You are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. But then if we read in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11 to 12, it says, Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. So this is something that I've been kind of stuck in 1 Corinthians, where God is saying, I want to relate to you as spirit. I've given you my Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11 verse 12 says, for who knows the thoughts of a person except the Spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. What he's saying is that I've filled you with my Spirit, and God, no one knows the thoughts of a person except the Spirit of that person inside of them. And no one knows God's thoughts except God's Spirit inside of him, but he has given us his Spirit. So we can understand God, and we can know God, and we can follow God. But then it says in 1 Corinthians, it says, it's further, where firstly I showed you the spiritual man and the unspiritual man. Now it's talking about the spiritual man. that wants to follow God. It says the spiritual man can also be divided into two. It says, I want to address you as spiritual, but you are still worldly. So the spiritual person, the Christian, who has given their lives to God, who's been filled with the Holy Spirit, can either be spiritual or you can be worldly. And what we want to be is spiritual. But just let's look at that. Where are we? So the spiritual person is somebody who has the Holy Spirit, like like I already said. But sometimes we can be worldly. And worldly means fitting into this world seamlessly. It's like when you look at the worldly person, the person without the Holy Spirit, we can be sort of look like them, which doesn't make sense because we've got the Spirit of God inside of us. But a worldly Christian is somebody who lives like the world, somebody who thinks similar to what the people around us think who are not Christians, somebody who pursues what the people in this world pursue, somebody who worries about what the people in this world worries about. And obviously, when I say this, we all think we're not like that. But if we have to look at our lives on a scale from 1 to 10, where 1 is spiritual and 10 is worldly, let's just think about our lives. On a scale of 1 to 10, am I more spiritual? Or am I 5? Or am I kind of a 7? Or am I 10 where I'm worldly, where I'm really looking and acting and thinking and my desires are like the world? So let's just think about that for a second. So that's our life. And if we look at, for example, our finances, on a scale from 1, which is spiritual, to 10, which is worldly, where am I on my finances? The way I work with my finances, the way I trust God with my future and my finances, the way I submit to God leading me to give, am I closer to the world or am I closer to the Spirit? When I look at media, for example, what I'm listening to, what I'm reading, what I'm social media that I'm watching, is it closer? Does it look more like the world, like the people around me, like everybody else? Or is it more spiritual? So from a scale of 1 to 10, am I a 5, a 7, 8, a 2? When I think about the time, my free time, when I relax, you know, when I've worked the whole day, what do I want to do after that? Do I want to do worldly things or is my desire towards spiritual things? When I look at worry and anxiety, is my anxiety and worries similar to the world or is more closely aligned to the Spirit where I'm trusting God 100% and I know that He's got my back and that He's looking after me? The parable of the sower, just to carry on and look at that deeper, we all know the parable of the sower. And it talks about the seed that is being sown. And we know that some of the seed is sown by the wayside. Some of it is sown on stony ground, so it grows a little bit, but then it dies. Some of it is sown on soil, but there's thorn in the soil, and the thorns actually kill the plant. And there's some sown on good soil. So let's quickly look at those last two in Luke 8, verse 7 to 10. Luke 8, verse 7 to 8. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So what's so powerful here is that as we're going into this new season, I believe God is wanting all of us, every single one of us, to be in that place where we've got good ground, to be in that place where we are being led by the Spirit, so that when God deposits something into our spirit, when God shows us something in the Word, when God speaks something into our lives, that falls on good ground, so it produces 30, 60, or 100-fold. So the strings we are cutting, or the the thorns that we are uprooting are the things that we want to get rid of, so that when we go into the next season, which is the season of fertile soil, that we can go into it and know that God will produce way more than our current expectation. So when we look at that, what are the things that are the thorns that is actually stopping God's word from producing the 30, 60, and 100-fold? And let's look at that in our lives and see what of those things can we cut off so that in the next season we can really produce life. So in Luke 8, verse 18, Jesus goes on and explains this, and he says, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So the cares of this world, worries, the things we worry about in this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the things we pursue, the things we desire, the things we want, the desire for other things enter in and it chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So I believe in the season of lockdown that God has actually come in our lives. I think just this quietness has caused that ground to be tilled a little bit, to be loosened a little bit. And we all know already the things that God has started highlighting to us. What are the things that we are looking like the world, where we are pursuing wealth, or we're pursuing money so that we are focusing on our future being rested on how much money we have versus our future being in God's hand? How many of those things are we still stuck in the world where we are worried about the things the world is worried about? And allow God to come and take out those things so that those thorns cannot quench what God wants to do in the next season. So how do we go, if there's areas in our lives that are worldly, how do we move from worldly to spiritual? How do we allow God to take us from this place of being worldly, looking like the world, thinking like the world, to actually being spiritual and being led by the Spirit? Because it says those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And this is that place of abundance that God wants us to live in, where we're not stuck back in the past, where when God gives us something, it produces life. Now, the way to change from worldly to spiritual is found in Romans 12:2, where it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you not agree that it is much easier to be conformed to the world on a day-to-day basis than it is to be transformed and to be different to the world? But God has called us out of Egypt, just like He led the Israelites out of Egypt, in through the Red Sea, into the Promised Land, to have His own special people. That is what God desires. He wants His own special people who will act and live like sons of God. He says, I'm not taking you out of the world. You are still in the world, but I want you to be so different to the world. I don't want you to look like the world. I don't want you to think like the world. And I don't want you to worry like the world, because you are spiritual and your Father is Spirit. So how do we go from this place from conforming to the place of transforming? The amazing thing about that word transforming is actually from the word metamorphosis, where it says you become like from a caterpillar to a butterfly. You're not going to even look slightly the same. I want you to be completely different, like a caterpillar that has been in a chrysalis and then becomes a butterfly. And that is the transformation that the Holy Spirit does. And how does He do that? It says, by the renewing of your mind. So while I was thinking about this butterfly that's in this chrysalis, that larva stage that it's in, is it an active process or is it a passive process? Is it something that just happens, or is it something that we play a part in? And what I felt is God showing me that transformation is the renewing of our mind. It's not a passive process. It's actually us taking our thoughts captive and bringing it into obedience to the word. So the word, the seed God's going to sow in us is life and it's truth. But we have to take our thoughts captive to make it obedient. When we are worried, say, what does the word say about God looking after his children? What does the word say about finances? What does the word say about relationships? And going, Lord, how do I take my thoughts captive and align my life to what you are saying so that I can be transformed from being worldly to being spiritual, to be a spiritual son and daughter of God. I felt in this new season that God doesn't want us to just float into this new season. God wants to shoot us like an arrow into this new season. So not to kind of glide into the new season, because what's going to happen is we're just going to fall back into our old ways. But say, Lord, what are the things that you are highlighting to me? What are the things that you have highlighted to me in the past few months that you want me to now overcome? If you want help on this, go and listen to all Andres' past sermons on overcoming in the past few months. In the past few weeks, he's had a series on overcoming where God is saying, okay, these are the things that I've shown you, but now is the time to overcome. Now is the time to leave it in the past and to step forward and to walk as sons and daughters of God. One of some of the things, just quickly as we're ending off, it says, maybe some of the things that are holding you back could be offense. Maybe you've picked up an offense along the way. The reality is of a relationship in church is that people will offend us. Even relationship, any kind of relationship, there is going to be offense. And we have to, the only way that we can actually live in relationship with one another is if we deal with our offenses. We forgive each other and we move on and we love each other again. So maybe you've become offended with relationships in church or with other people or whatever. Maybe there's somebody that you need to forgive. Give God control again of your relationships. You know, the world doesn't want control. They don't want God to control them. They want to be in control. The world wants to be in control of their finances. They want to be in control of, you know, it's our selfish nature. But God says, give me control of your relationships. Forgive the people that I'm highlighting to you. Cut those strings so that you can move forward. Because unforgiveness is not keeping the other person bound. It's keeping you bound and out of the destiny that God has for you. So maybe there's a offense that you need to forgive. Maybe there's a person that hurt you that you need to forgive. Maybe you've been burnt out in the previous season. Maybe you were running so hard for God and doing so many things for him that you just got burnt out. So instead of going, okay, I've had actually 6 months to recover, you're just so scared to do it again, to be part of what God wants you to do again. But don't be, because it's a new season. Leave that stuff in the past. And then this time, ask God, Lord, what do you want me to be part of? What is the thing that you want me to step into? Because I promise you, if you step into the thing that God has already given you, that's part of you, that's a gift inside of you, it's not going to be hard for you, but it's going to be a massive blessing to the people around you. It's not going to be burdensome to you. It's going to be life-giving, and it's actually going to not only be life-giving to you, but it's an essential part of church to function for you to actually be able to walk in your calling and in your gifts. So just as we close, I'm just going to pray for us. But the most important thing is, it's a new season. And God wants to release you like an arrow into the new season. God wants us to, in conclusion, secondly, to get rid of the thorns. Get rid of those things that are keeping you stuck in the world, and that's crushing the new seed, and that's sort of suffocating the new seed and the new things that God is wanting to give you. Cut the cords of the past. Have a great expectation for a great harvest, because God's saying, the only reason why I'm removing all of these thorns and these strings is so that you can have a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold, way more than you can ever expect. And then fourthly, let's walk by the Spirit. Let's not walk the way the world does, but let's really walk by the Spirit in agreement with God's Holy Spirit that is placed inside of us. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Thank you, God, that you speak to us and that your heart is for us to walk as the sons and daughters of God, free to be released into the new season that you have for us, free to enjoy a great harvest. Lord, I pray, Lord, as this morning we bring our hearts to you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to highlight to us anxiety that we have or fears that we have or people that we need to forgive or trusting you again, God. Maybe you've spoken to us about doing something, but we're so afraid of what people think that we just don't want to do it, Lord. Lord, give us the grace this morning, God, to follow you, God. To say, Lord, I want to follow you. I'm willing, God, for you to have control of my life. And I pray, God, that in every one of our lives, Lord, that you will cut those strings, God, so that you can release us, Father, into this new season for us individually, God, but also for us as a church together. In Jesus' name, amen.